You are Essun, after all. You know this already, don't you? Nasun next, then. Nasun, who is just 8 years old when the world ends. There is no knowing what went through little Nasun's mind when she came home from her apprenticeship one afternoon to find her younger brother dead on the den floor and her father standing over the corpse. We can imagine what she thought, felt, did. We can speculate. But we will not know. Perhaps that is for the best. Here is what I know for certain. That apprenticeship I mentioned? Nasun was in training to become a lorist. The stillness has an odd relationship with its self-appointed keepers of stone lore. There are records of lorists existing as far back as the long-rumored eggshell season. That's the one in which some sort of gaseous emission caused all children born in the Arctics for several years to have delicate bones that broke with a touch and bent as they grew. If they grew. Humanists and archaeomists have argued for centuries over whether this could have been caused by strontium or arsenic, and whether it should be counted as a season at all, given that it only affected a few hundred thousand weak, pallid little barbarians on the northern tundra. But that is when the peoples of the Arctics gained a reputation for weakness. About 25,000 years ago, according to the lorists themselves, which most people think is a blatant lie. In truth, lorists are an even older part of life in the stillness. 25,000 years ago is simply when their role became distorted into near uselessness. They're still around, though they've forgotten how much they've forgotten. Somehow their order, if it can be called an order, survives despite the first through seventh universities disavowing their work as apocryphal, and probably inaccurate, and despite governments down all the ages undermining their knowledge with propaganda. And despite the seasons, of course. Once lorists came only from a race called Regwo, West Coasters, who had sallow reddish skin and naturally black lips, and who worshipped the preservation of history the way people in less bitter times worshipped gods. They used to chisel stone lore into mountainsides and tablets as high as the sky, so that all would see and know the wisdom needed to survive. Alas, in the stillness, destroying mountains is as easy as an origin toddler's temper tantrum. Destroying a people takes only a bit more effort. So lorists are no longer Regwo, but most of them tint their lips black in the Regwo's memory. Not that they remember why anymore. Now it's just how one knows a lorist. By the lips, and by the stack of polymer tablets they carry, and by the shabby clothes they tend to wear, and by the fact that they usually do not have real comm names. They aren't commless, mind. In theory, they could return to their home comms in the event of a season, although by profession they tend to wander far enough to make returning impractical. In practice, many communities will take them in even during a season, because even the most stoic community wants entertainment during the long, cold nights. For this reason, most lorists train in the arts, music and comedy and such. They also act as teachers and caretakers of the young in times when no one else can be spared for such duty. And most importantly, they serve as a living reminder that others have survived worse through the ages. Every comm needs that. The lorist who has come to Tirimo is named Renthri Lorist Stone. All lorists take the comm name Stone and the use name Lorist, it being one of the rarer use castes. She is mostly unimportant, but there is a reason you must know of her. She was once Renthri breeder Tentik, but that was before she fell in love with a lorist who visited Tentik and seduced the then young woman away from a boring life as a glasssmith. Her life would have become slightly more interesting if a season had occurred before she left, for a breeder's responsibility in those times is clear. And perhaps that, too, is what spurred her away. Or maybe it was just the usual folly of young love. Hard to say.